The conclusion of Daniel, chapters 10, 11, and 12. They present an amazing prophetic vision detailing the end times. The end of the book of Daniel gives us clues about future events that are going to be going down. Things that are going to happen just before and during the return of our Lord and King, Jesus. Everybody give a big shout out to Jesus because he's coming back. Come on, Jesus. Come on back, Jesus. So this vision that we find in chapters 10, 11, and 12 of the book of Daniel are filled with wars and power struggles, battles between evil and good, and all the guys in the room are sitting up. They're excited about the sermon today, right? As we read this vision, this prophetic vision and picture of end times, we see the rise and the fall of the Antichrist. Ooh, you know that guy, right? And then we also get the reality that there's going to be death as we transition from this age into the eternal age. But there is also the promise of resurrection. The promise of resurrection. So, welcome to the final message of our journey through the book of Daniel. Welcome to the jungle. And I want to ask you this. How many of you have gotten something out of this study of Daniel? I hope so, because if you can't get something out of the life of Daniel, then you're really hurting. And I don't even know if I can help you. You know what I'm saying? Not that that's any... Anyway. Daniel. God wants us to learn from the past. He wants us to learn from the life of Daniel. He wants us to learn from men and women who've gone before us. He wants us to learn from things that we've walked through and things that we've seen other people walk through. And so we've been learning from the past as we look at the life of Daniel. We've been watching a man who loves God and who's faithful and consecrated unto the Lord live a godly life in a godless world. And it's teaching us, and it's hopefully walking us into being those kind of men and women in our age today. How to be godly men and women in a godless culture. How to elevate Jesus in an antichrist culture. How to be a Christian in the jungle that we live in, this fallen world. So we learn from the past, and we've been doing that through the life of Daniel. But God also wants us to live for him in the present. The past is important, but God wants us to live for him right now. More importantly, God wants us and invites us to engage with him right now. Come on, what a blessing. I mean, God is alive. He is alive. He's living. He's active in our lives today. The Holy Spirit is living in all of us who are born again in Christ Jesus. We're his dwelling place. He's right here in this room, and he invites us to engage with him in the present. We're on this earth for that purpose. Not just to mark time, not just to jump through hoops, but we're on this earth to glorify the living God and to enjoy him now and forever. And the enemy, we were singing this earlier in worship, he wants to rob us of that kind of life. He wants to rob us of the reality that we are blessed to live an active, full, free life right now in and through Christ Jesus. So the present matters. Today matters to Jesus. It matters to the Lord. He wants us to be fully alive in him today, not just thinking of the past, although we can learn from the past, not just hoping for the future, although we're called to hope for the future. He wants us alive fully in him right here and right now. So the past, it's important. The present, oh, it's a joy. What an invitation to glorify and enjoy God today. But check this out. We got to remember that God also wants us to have our eyes on eternity. And that's the title of this final message in the book of Daniel. Eyes on eternity. Because here's the deal, is that our perspective of eternity is going to affect the way we live today. Do you understand that? What we think about Jesus and his plans and his return and how it's all going to go down and what it's all going to mean and what the eternal age is going to look like, that affects how we live today. It affects how we think. It affects how we interact with one another. It affects how we spend our time and our resources. And so the Lord wants us to be those people who have our eyes on eternity. So I was thinking this week about opinions, facts, and truth. As I'm thinking about eternity, as I'm thinking about processing these deep and mysterious visions and dreams that we see in the book of Daniel, and then we jump over to Revelation, and we're all over the Bible, Ezekiel places, and we're seeing all these prophetic words. So we all have opinions, and opinions are important because you have an opinion. And so that to me means that opinions matter. They're important because all of us have opinions. Some of us have a lot of opinions, maybe too many sometimes, but we all have opinions and they matter. And facts are important. You got opinions and you got facts. But truth is what really matters. Truth is what really matters because truth is what will impact us in such a way that it will change eternity. It'll change our eternity. Truth will do that. Let me just walk you through this really quick. Here's a fact. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Right? Where C represents the length of the hypotenuse. A and B are the other two sides of the triangle. And so this is the Pythagorean theorem. I mean, that's what I had to look it up. I'll be honest with you. I did all right in school. I really did. I've got several degrees, all that kind of stuff, even IT degrees and stuff. You know, so I knew this at one time. I mean, like cold. I had it down for that test anyway, right? But that's the Pythagorean theorem, right? So A squared plus B squared equals C squared. And you know what? That's a fact. That's a fact. And if you're building my house, I really hope you know this fact because I want it to all fit together. You know what I'm saying? It's important. But let me show you what a truth is. A truth is this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, that what will happen? You'll be saved, right? Now that's a truth. And that truth, unlike the Pythagorean theorem, the fact, it will actually change your destiny for all eternity. Truth is so, so, so important. So church, we need to fill our lives with truth. Right? See, if you're on the app this week and you got one of the daily devotionals that I write and that we send out that are from me, they're not just like copy-paste from somewhere online. They're actually, anyway. So you saw one of the posts was about the Word of God and about being in the Word of God and about even bringing the Word of God to church with you and to your Bible studies. And good thing to bring to your Bible studies, you know. And I know you don't have to have the physical. You can have the one on your phone, and that's fine and all, right? But the point is this, is truth will change destinies. It will change our eternity. And so it matters. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn over to chapter 12 of Daniel. We're going to fix our eyes on eternity, and we're going to discover five truths that will change us now and forever. So turn to Daniel chapter 12. Truth number one, there is a book of life. Truth number one, there's a book of life, Daniel 12 verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. Now what's going on there? He's speaking of the end times. This is that end times vision, that end times prophetic dream vision, talking about the return of Jesus. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. Can we deal with that, by the way? In the end times, there's going to be times of distress and death and all of that kind of stuff. But is God sovereign? Is God good? Is there anyone in this room who can say that you could do it better than God? All right, so we trust God and we look forward to what he's about to do here, right? So there's going to be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But, I bolded this in my notes, but at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found in the book, will be delivered. I like that. Come on. That's right. Will be delivered. There's going to be a transition, church. There's a transition that's a-coming. It's a-coming. Anyway, my kids are like, oh, Dad, don't do that. Anyway, there's a transition that's coming from this broken world to the eternal age. From a world of pain and suffering to a world where all things are made new. From a world where broken people are ruling in broken ways to the perfect eternal rule of Jesus. There's a change that's a-coming. And it's going to be dramatic. It's going to be apocalyptic. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's not just going to be casual. Because Jesus never does things casually. He steps down from heaven. He goes to a cross. He's resurrected, walking on this earth, the resurrected man, Christ Jesus. He ascends back into heaven. He's coming down in power and might. Look out. He doesn't do things halfway, and he's very dramatic. His name is Jesus. I'm preaching this morning. So many are going to die during this transition. Calming down again. And there's going to be great distress. However, God promises deliverance. You saw it. Daniel 12:1. He promises deliverance in the midst of death and distress. God promises deliverance. But who will be delivered? Here's the answer. Those whose names are in the book of life. God promises deliverance. Who will be delivered? Those whose names are in the book of life. So I used to be a basketball coach, coach high school basketball, and there are rules in basketball. You better know that if you're a coach and a player. So we know this. The refs are going to blow their whistle and there's going to be a problem. If you double dribble. If you travel with the ball, right? If you go over the back, you know, basically tackle somebody getting a rebound. An illegal screen, the whistle's going to blow. You broke the rules. But here's a rule that not everybody is aware of. And coaches better be aware of this. And believe me, I always was. And I always made sure that I never got caught up by this rule. And that is this. Is that... Nice. That before the beginning of a game, if a player's name is not in the official scorekeeper book, they're not allowed on the court. Do you know that? You think, but wait a minute. I thought that if my kid was on the team and he went to all the practices and did everything he was supposed to do, if he has a jersey, if you're in a fancy school, it even has his name on the back or something like that, right? He's all suited up. He showed up for the game on time. He got out on the court with the team before the game. He did all the pregame warm-ups. He even made all of his layups, even his left-hand layups, right? And so he should get to play. But here's the problem. If his name or her name, Faith is a baller too, my daughter, man. She's a baller. If her name is not in the official scorekeeper book, if her name is not in the official book prior to tip-off, she can't play. Prohibited from going on the court. You got to be in the official book if you're going to play. So here's the deal. Whose names will be in the book of life? In Daniel 1, we see your people. That's whose names will be in the book of life. Quote, your people. In other words, people who belong to God's family, God's people. People who belong to the family of God, people who have been adopted into the family of God through Christ Jesus, God's people will be the people who find their names and who already have their names written in the book of life. And who are God's children? Who are his people? Those who know Jesus, and as Jesus said, those who are known by him, right? Those who are known by Jesus. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we, now let me jump forward here. John is writing this to Christians. He's not writing this just to the general population, the saved and the unsaved. He's writing this letter to Christians. He says this to Christians. He says, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So he's writing to all of those who are brand new, born again, redeemed in Christ Jesus. And he says, so what great love does the Father have for us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We're God's children in and through Christ Jesus. Been made new. We've been forgiven. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. We have new names. Still call you Don. But you're a saint. Made new. In and through Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. Jesus says this. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father. In other words, no one enters the family of God. No one has their name written in the book of life except through me. Man, I pray that today is the day of salvation for everyone in this room. I know that so many of you have new life in Christ, that your names are written in the book of life. But if you're in this room and your name is not in the book of life, you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I believe and I'm praying, and I was praying all morning, that today is the day of salvation for you. Because Jesus came, he went to the cross, he rose again, so that your name could be in the book of life. That's God's heart and his desire for you. And it's no accident that you're here this morning hearing this message, because God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Paul refers to the book of life in Philippians 4:3. We find the book of life mentioned 7 times in Revelation. There is a book of life. Is your name written in it? Is your name written in it? Again, if you've surrendered to Jesus, confessed your sins to him, if Jesus is the king of your heart, if he's your Lord and Savior, your name is in the book. To use a phrase in this book, it is written, right? Your name, it is written in the book of life. Because of Christ Jesus in you. Amen? All right, before I continue, I know y'all gave a shout out earlier, but can we just praise God for that? Can we praise God that he writes our names in the book of life because of his son Jesus, because of what he has done for us? Nothing we've done. We've received the free gift. We're in the book. In the book. So we set our eyes on eternity. There is a book of life. Let's look at the second truth here in Daniel 12. There is a future resurrection. Verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. In other words, the dead will be resurrected. Some, but check this out, some will be resurrected to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. There will be a resurrection. Some will be resurrected and have eternal life. Some will be resurrected and face eternal suffering. And you're like, Pastor, you're heavy, man. This is heavy stuff. Yeah. God so loves us that he gets heavy with us, that he gets real with us, that he doesn't hide truth from us just because it might, you know, make us open up our eyes and stop for a moment and contemplate reality and existence and eternity. No, God loves us. And so he's getting heavy with us right here in Daniel chapter 12. There is a resurrection, and we're not promised tomorrow. We could die today, and there is a resurrection that's going to happen. And will we be those resurrected to eternal life or those resurrected to eternal shame? Eternal suffering. God wants us to have eternal life. God's word says that he desires that all would be saved and know this salvation. He wants this for everyone. And so Jesus came, and the blood that Jesus spilled wasn't just for a few people. He didn't have enough grace in him only to save just a few. Oh, there's 144,000 people, and that's all that I'm going to save. What are you talking about? For God so loved the world that he came. He came for all of us, and he desires that you be part of the resurrection to eternal life. And you don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to perform for that to happen. You just receive the free gift of Jesus. Turn your life over to him. Oh, he's good. The Lord's made a way for us. And here's, it's not happenstance. It's not a roll of the dice of which resurrection we're going to experience. We don't have to just hope and pray, although we should hope and pray. You know what I'm saying? But it's not just a roll of the dice. It says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe, check this out, because Jesus died and rose again, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. Some more prophetic words here in the Word of God, right? In 1 Thessalonians, right? He will come down with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead, it says, in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise, will be resurrected. This is the resurrection that's spoken of in Daniel 12 right here. Again, underlined and underscored and reminding the church of the reality that there is a resurrection that is coming. And so we will be with the Lord forever. The resurrection to eternal life. There will be a resurrection. Which one will be yours? God wants you to receive the resurrection to eternal life. And that's through his son, Jesus. Let's look at truth number three. Real stars shine for Jesus. Verse 3. Truth number 3, Daniel 12, verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. So those who are written in the book of life, those who are resurrected unto eternal life with Christ Jesus, who are in the eternal age with Christ Jesus, are going to shine. And here's why we're going to shine. This is what the Lord highlighted to me this week. We're going to shine because the Shekinah glory of Jesus is going to be bouncing off of us. We're going to be beholding the Shekinah glory of Jesus. In fact, Scripture says there will be no more sun. There's not even a need for the sun any longer. Because the Shekinah glory of Jesus will be illuminating all of creation and all of eternity. And we're going to shine like the stars in the heavens. DC Talk said that. I love that song. Want to be in the light because you are in the light. Anyway, we're going to be in the light because we're going to be resurrected unto eternal life. And we're going to shine for Jesus forever. But check this out. It looks like some may be shining brighter than others. Okay, what did he just say? I thought everything was equal in heaven. I thought everything was even Stephen in heaven. I thought about not including this in the message, but the Lord highlighted it to me this week, and so I'm figuring you're big boys and girls, and we all need to realize that everything isn't necessarily even Stephen in heaven. Everything is perfect. Everything is perfect because God is perfect. His plans are perfect, and he is perfectly good, and we're going to shine, just shining the Shekinah glory of Jesus coming right off of us, around us, and through us. It's going to be glorious. But what affects the shine as we look at this passage here in Daniel 12:3? That there are going to be some who are going to shine even bright, like the stars forever and ever, and those are the ones that are leading others to the light. Look what it says. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. Man, remember, our view of eternity, having our eyes on eternity, our perspective of eternity is going to affect the way that we process life today, and it's going to affect the way we live life today. And what I believe the Lord wants to encourage us in this passage of Scripture is that it matters that we are bringing Jesus into other people's lives. It matters that we share Christ with our neighbor, with our friends, with our coworkers, with our community. It matters that we say the name of Jesus and bring the name of Jesus into the rooms that God opens up the door for us to walk into. It matters that we are those who are spreading the light and life of Christ Jesus today. Because people matter. God loves people. I love that song. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. And it goes on and talks, you know, I was this guy doing this stuff and didn't know God. And I'm paraphrasing. Sorry, I'm butchering the song. I don't know words. I'm a bass player, okay? That's what I used to do. We don't need to know words. We just kind of groove, right? So we just do that. Right, brother? So that's all we do. And so, you know, it matters. And I want to be that guy in heaven who has people coming up to me and going, I know you don't know my name. I know you don't really know who I am. But when you said the name of Jesus in that gathering or in that room, when you brought Jesus into that meeting that I was in with you, you know, it changed my life. My heart was moved. Something on me moved. The Spirit of God came upon me. It softened me. And that night, I fell on my face and I surrendered my life to Jesus. And I'm here resurrected in the eternal life, in the eternal age with you because you shine the light of Jesus. Church, we are to be those who are shining bright the light of Christ Jesus into our world today. So look at your life. Are you leading others to Jesus? And some of them you won't even know. Again, you just said something. You didn't even know that night they fell on their face and accepted Christ. But are you bringing Jesus into other people's lives? As we have our eyes on eternity, we should have our eyes on that prize of people, because people matter. Truth number four, knowledge will increase as we approach. Truth number four, verse 4 of Daniel 12. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Now, there's a debate surrounding this passage. What does it really mean? I like to keep things simple, look at the text contextually, and just say, okay, what are you saying, God, in this word? And so Daniel has been told to seal up the word, the truth, the vision that he's just receiving right now. This is the end of the vision that he's receiving. And he's being told now to seal it up. Seal up this prophetic word and then ensure that it is preserved until the time of the end. Seal it up, preserve it, protect it until the time of the end, until the seals are broken by Jesus, right? Till he reveals it all to us. Seal it up. And it appears as though we're told that many will seek this truth, and many will seek Scripture. They will seek here, as it says in verse 4. It says many will go here, and I see here meaning this prophetic word. Many will look at this prophetic word, read this prophetic word, try to understand this dream, this prophetic word that's given to us through Daniel. And many will look there, meaning look at other prophetic words. Why? In order to increase their knowledge of the return of Jesus. Because we love Jesus, and we want to know more about Jesus, and we want to know more about his return, and we want to be ready because we understand we have a part, we have a role to play when he comes for his millennial kingdom reign on this earth. And so we're not just casual, we're not pan-millennialists. That's the little joke, right? That everything will pan out in the end, right? We're not just saying, oh, whatever will be. This stuff is complicated, and so we're just going to kind of ignore it because we know God is sovereign, and we're just going to use the sovereignty of God as an excuse to just kind of live life ignorantly and lazily. No, we love Jesus, and he's coming back, and it's going to be incredible, and so we are looking here. And there and everywhere, for our knowledge of the return of Jesus, the revelation of our King's return. We're looking everywhere. So knowledge will increase as we approach. Amen. Today we see through a glass dimly, 1 Corinthians 13, 12. Don't let the dimness of our vision frustrate you or shut you down from looking. The Lord brings revelation in perfect time, and He reveals to those who seek. If we seek, we will what? Amen. And so we are those who seek to know more about Jesus and His return. Truth number five, there is a rest and a reward for God's children. Daniel 12, verse 13, the last verse in this amazing book. As for you, go your way till the end. Man, I'm hearing an encouragement there to finish strong. As for you, go your way to the end. Keep following God. Keep loving the Lord. Be strong. Be courageous. Remain faithful. Persevere to the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. And what is our allotted inheritance? Is it eternal peace and joy? Yes. Yes. Is it eternal life? Yes. Is it nothing broken and nothing missing? Yes. And yes, but I'm here to tell you, our great reward, the inheritance that gets us up every single day and has us seeking and has us loving God and living for Him every day, is Jesus Himself. He is our great reward. He is our inheritance, church. It says this in Psalm 16:5. Lord, Lord, You alone are my inheritance. My cup of blessing, You guard all that is mine. I love that passage. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Apostle Paul reminds us, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We fix our eyes on the eternal one. His name is Jesus, our great reward, our inheritance. We have our eyes on the prize, our eyes on eternity, just like Daniel. Church, stand up with me. I want to conclude with a few phrases from a poem, actually a hymn that I read earlier this week. Mary A. Kidder, she was born March 16, 1820. She wrote many hymns in her lifetime. This one is titled, Is My Name Written There? Just a few phrases from that hymn. Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of Thy kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of Thy kingdom, is my name written there? And we can confidently say that because of the work of Christ Jesus, because He is Lord, because He is King, and because we are born again in Him, that our names are written there. Let's close our eyes for a moment. I shared this earlier in the message. If you're here, it's no accident. If you walked in this room far from the Lord, wondering, why am I going to a church service today? I'm not a Christian. I don't know about this God thing. You're here because God loves you, and He's drawing you to Himself. He's drawing you to eternal life. He's drawing you into new life through His Son, Jesus. If you're compelled to take that step to be made new, I just want to invite you to pray this after me, and everyone can pray this along. You can just say, Jesus, I recognize my need for you. Will you please save me? Will you please rescue me? Will you please make me new? I confess that I've sinned. But today, I turn from that sin. I turn from my own plans. And I turn to you. Today, I am deciding to follow you. I confess that you are the Son of God, that you died and rose again. And I confess today that you are my Lord, and for all eternity, my Savior and my inheritance. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Amen.